Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Lord, we bless your name. Thank you for the last day of this series. Show me the money. Thank you because your children are blessed. They will walk in prosperity with ease in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Come on, jam your hands together. Give the Lord a big shout this morning. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I'm so excited. We're here at the last day of this series titled Show Me the Money. Hallelujah. I trust you have been blessed. I've been so blessed. Make sure if you've not caught any of the previous messages before this last one, please make sure you watch it. It'll be on our YouTube channels to be a blessing to you. All right, so We've established so many things. I can't recap all of them. But one thing for sure, I said there's one word that determines the prosperity of a believer. There's one word that even determines the prosperity of a human being. It is the word soul. S-O-U-L. Your soul. And it's from 3 John 2 that says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health equally as your soul prospers. Equally as your soul prospers. So we've established that what determines your prosperity is the prosperity of your soul. Or let me say it this way. What determines your outward prosperity is the prosperity of your soul. So where you are now financially, physically, where you live, what you drive, what you wear, your class of life is not determined by the government or by the dollar rate or inflation rate. It's determined by the rate of your soul or the rate at which your soul has prospered. So don't argue. Don't argue with it. It's just how your soul is. If you can work on what your soul becomes and consumes, it will change on the outward. That's why they always say, if you learn to earn, then you will earn to learn. But you know what I'm saying? The more you learn, the more you earn, basically. That's what I'm trying to say. In other words, when you do some learning, it affects your earning. When you do some learning, it affects your earning. So when you work on your soul, it improves what you get. That's just how life works. We prosper from inside out. And that is what differentiates kingdom prosperity from natural prosperity. Because natural prosperity, sometimes the people depend so much on the physical hustle. And that's what I want to deal with this last day. We can't depend on that. They depend so much on the physical hustle. And the physical hustle says if you want more money, you work more. And of course, you will always want more money. If you need to work more, it means you'll be taking out time from your family time, your rest time, your health time. So in worldly prosperity, working harder and harder, you'll lose your family, lose your health, lose your soul. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Because the money keep getting dragged into looking for more money. But when you prosper in the kingdom way, it says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And added no sorrow. Sorrow there means toiling. So we don't toil to prosper. We don't toil to prosper. Now we walk. Remember I dealt with that this month. Talking about the soul of the diligent. Everything's about the soul. The prosperous soul, 3 John 2. Soul of the diligent. Then this fourth one, Pastor Mira talks about her own. Then this fourth one, I'm dealing with the generous soul. Or the liberal soul. Proverbs 11, did you give it to me? Think verse 24. The liberal soul. Prosperous soul. Diligent soul. Liberal soul. Look at it here. The liberal soul shall be made fat. It's so interesting. The last one we did, they said the diligent soul shall be made fat. This one, they said the liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. The liberal soul, some versions say it clearly, the generous soul. The generous soul. Your state of mind matters a lot. The state of your heart matters a lot. And they say the key to it, the key is a generous soul. A soul that gives. Look at it here. The generous man. Is it? No, I want the one that said generous soul. Not generous man. All right. I want to say generous soul. I think it's NIM. There's a version, either NIV or something. It said the generous soul. So the difference is that when you are a generous soul, You know, generosity is interesting. Look at it here. Yes, NIV. Say, a generous person. But a generous person will prosper. Whosoever refreshes others will refresh. But basically, the word liberal means generous. A generous soul. There's a version that says generous soul. A generous soul shall be fat. So, generosity is like this. When your hand is locked, nothing goes out. But guess what? Nothing also comes in. But when you are a generous soul, your heart is open. Things will go out, but guess what? Bigger things will come. Bigger things will come. It's a law of life. It's a law of life. A generous soul shall be made fat. Guys, if you want to prosper, then you must master generosity. Giving is a crucial part of kingdom prosperity. That's why the devil gets angry. The devil hates it. I've seen people that are very okay with buying alcohol, popping champagne, popping whatever it is they pop. What's that drink they pop now that is blue, that is very expensive? You know, they pop all these things. Millions and millions of naira. Is this Zazu or Zazu? I laugh for alcohol. What's happening inside? They pop, pop, pop. But you see, these same clowns, if they cut out a church video where a pastor is asking people to come out and give, whether it's $100 or $1,000, doesn't matter. We give. That's what we do in the kingdom. Okay. But these same clowns are very okay with someone spending $100,000 in a bar, drinking their destiny and soul away. The same joker. See, don't let them move you with any of those videos. It's nonsense. Now, I know there are some preachers that can be extreme, but that's not my concern. Why are they not showing people in club being extreme? There are people spraying thousands of dollars on strippers, on people's daughters being naked for public consumption. Nobody's angry with that. But once a pastor is saying people should give, they say these churches are fake. Leave us, we are fake like that. Let's be fake. You too, you are fake where you are drinking. Because why are they selling you alcohol 20 times the price that they sell on the street? They're selling to you in the club. Everybody's happy to buy it. Are you people not fake? Are you all of you not sick? Next time they put those videos, let's put also their own videos, how mad they are. They are madder than us. I won't say if we're using to do something reasonable. Girls are just naked their body. People are spraying. Everybody's okay with it. Nobody's angry. Somebody's buying alcohol 20 times the price is being sold normally. He's not even buying alcohol at all. But he's buying 20 times the price and everybody's clapping for him. He's a fool. But everybody's fine with it. But when it's a church, oh, they have come. They say you should give. We give in the kingdom. You know why? Because our master gave. God gave. God so loved the world that he gave. We give. If you're here and you're still angry with other things, good luck to you. We have passed those stage where we'll please only you. Thank you. But we'll still say what the Bible says. The Bible is very explicit on giving. It has always been so. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, there's always been giving. Abraham was even asked to give his Isaac, his only son. It's part of the kingdom. It's part of us. We will not shy away from the truth because one or two mad people are angry. So, where was I? Mm-hmm. So you need to be generous, basically. Giving is one of the major ways we prosper in the kingdom. It cannot be, there's no way to mince words or cover it. It cannot be overemphasized. Giving is actually where your advantage starts. Look, if you're here and you're very broke or very poor, I beg you, one of the ways you can kickstart your journey to prosperity is by giving. That's why the devil fights it. It's by giving. That's literally where all of us can start. Maybe you have very little, eh? Start giving from that very little and watch God prosper you. It's a covenant principle. I explained to you this some time ago, that the reason why whenever they want to teach on poverty in the Bible, they use widows, is significant. Throughout the Bible, when they want to teach abject poverty, they use widows. It's not as if they didn't have other stories. But widows represented the poorest people. Widows represented the poorest people in the land. Because in those days, in Jewish culture, widows didn't really work. Their husbands alone worked. So widows, when somebody was a widow, they were actually poor. And most times they have children. So they're really poor. And God used their stories to teach giving. It's significant that they use widows. So let me give an example. The story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. The woman said, "We'll eat this last food and we will die." She was not joking. She was a very poor widow. She was going to die after that. And Elijah said, "You know what? You will not die. Give out of your last." Can you imagine? If it's today, I mean, social media won't let Elijah hear what. They say, oh, these fake prophets have come. These Nigerian pastors have come. How can you collect a widow's last food? But that's the only way she will be sustained. By giving. Jesus did the same thing. A widow was dropping her 2 mites. So even if you don't like Elijah, you can't fight Jesus. You can't be more holy than Jesus, the Son of God, directly. People were giving offering. And the widow dropped her 2 mites. Maybe like 2 kobo. And Jesus didn't say, don't give. Don't give. Internet, these online people, blogs will not let us hear word if you give. Jesus collected the offering. They said Jesus was standing by the offering. He saw her drop. He didn't give her back. He told them that this woman has given more than all these people that even gave thousands of dollars because her own was her last. It was her last. So 2 widows gave their last and God collected it. You can't be holier than God. I don't care what you think, sir. I don't care what you think. You are not holier than God. God collected the widow's last money. You know why? Because God is too big to rob them. He's not robbing them. Because giving is the way out of abject poverty. If you are here, sir, you are very poor. Please, let's start giving. I preach this with confidence because that's how my own journey started. I used to be poor. Oh, look, I've been poor. Now I'm blessed. Blessed is better. I've been poor. I've shared my story many times. I've been poor. Times we didn't have food. Many times we didn't have food. We didn't have soap to bath. I wore 1 trouser for 7 years. I have stories of poverty. I started my own journey with giving. Do you know there's nowhere giving is mentioned in the scripture that receiving is not mentioned in the same verse? I mean, that's so interesting. There's nowhere giving is mentioned in the scripture that receiving is not mentioned. Wow. Let's run through a few of them to show you that God is not robbing people. Nobody gives to him. And you see, the reason is that sometimes when people give, they don't really love God. They're trying to trick God. The principles of scripture are written on the premise that you have a relationship with God. It's not for outsiders. It's not for a hooligan. It's not for a drunkard. That's not who they're targeting. It's for people that already love the Lord and work with God. So that's why sometimes people don't get blessed. They think giving and receiving is for bandits. It's for people trying to steal, racket God. No. No. It's on the premise that you understand it's a relationship. It's a love relationship. So that's where we all started. Let's see some scriptures. Genesis 8 verse 22. Genesis 8 22. He said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and what? Harvest. Cold and heat. Summer and winter. Day and night shall not cease. That means wherever there's seed time, there is harvest. There is harvest. That's why Jesus and God was comfortable letting the poor widows give. If not, they'll be wicked to collect the widow's money if there's no return. There is return. It's a seed time and harvest shall not cease. Proverbs 11, 24. We've read it before, but I want to read it to verse 26 now. It says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. I didn't write all these things. I didn't write these things. There is that scattereth and yet. For them to write and yet, that means ordinarily he's not supposed to increase. But in the kingdom, he will increase. Yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is necessary. He said, but it tendeth to poverty. I didn't write this thing, guys. When you withhold, when you are not generous, it will lead to poverty, sir. That's why I don't, you know, Christians should be poor. You can turn your destiny around. We have the written document, sir. Why are you staying where you are now? Let's start. Start small with your 10 naira. Let's start. You see, between you and God, you are the one that will be a liar now. Because God is not lying. Do you understand? It's not God. Okay, sorry. It's not God lying now. It's you. You are the problem. It can't be God now. Except he's lying. Or you are saying he's lying. If he's not lying, you are the only liar. So let God be true. Let every man be a liar. If you are broke and continuously broke, if you are poor and continuously poor, you are the one that needs to adjust, sir. Can we agree on this? You are the one that needs to adjust. Can we adjust? Look at this. He said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Luke 26. So he said, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. But the blessing shall be of the head of him that selleth it. So we see it everywhere. Giving begets receiving. Philippians 4:15. I jump to the New Testament. There are many more. I'm just trying to keep them short. This is Apostle Paul. He said, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning what?" Did you see it? As concerning what? Giving and receiving. Not only giving. If it's only giving, you can be angry. It's giving and receiving. There's no investor that is angry. I've not seen an angry investor that is getting dividends. Never. All investors are excited to invest. Galatians 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, 7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." In every verse, they talked about giving or sowing or seed. They always talk about harvest, receiving, and reaping. Every verse. There's no way they say give and it ends there. Come on, guys. Why? So why are you where you are? Stop blaming the government. No, 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 no. You might not like the government, but don't blame them. So, you are connected to a heavenly kingdom. We say people should tithe. That's what we are saying. You say, "I don't like tithe." Okay, give 20%. Now give 100%. Tithe is not a Bible word itself. Tithe just means tenth. It's a covenant deal. Same way you pay agency 10%. But if you don't like that one, okay, give 20% now. Oh yeah. But don't use that as an excuse not to give. You'll just be broke for nothing. See time and harvest. Somebody say, "Oh, we are now under grace." If we're under grace, then why are we going to church? Because the Bible says you go to church. We don't need to go to church. It's an instruction of Scripture. Grace doesn't cancel an instruction of Scripture. The Bible says you pray. So whether you're under grace or not, you still pray because there are benefits and blessings to prayer. It doesn't cancel grace or no grace. Same thing with giving. Giving begets receiving. Now somebody that says he's under grace doesn't go to work. I'm going to pay your salary. Work is part of Scripture. He does not work, should not eat. So don't confuse. Grace is talking about your spiritual state. There's an operational one. It says you go to church every day. But I don't say you're under grace. Right? I don't want you to go to church. The jokers preaching these things. People are there. They are telling people to come to church. Cancel the whole Bible now. This is under grace. No, there's acts of obedience. There are things we do in instruction to Scripture. Whether grace or no grace. Doesn't make any difference. Seed time and harvest. Simple. A farmer says he's under grace. He don't plant anything in his farm. I'm under grace. You will eat disgrace. Disgrace is what you will eat. I don't know how people misinterpret these things. Whatever a man so shall just reap. Let me see if I give you one or two more. This is one of my favorite ones. Luke 6:38. This is actually the one that actually changed my life because it became a revelation. I always knew giving was important. But you see, the reason why some of you is not working for you is that you just know it in your head knowledge. It hasn't entered your soul. When you study it and your eyes open to it, it becomes a revelation. You are no longer waiting for somebody to motivate you. You know what you're doing. This one changed my life. And I've shared the story so many times, but there are always new people. So let me share it again. I was reading and it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure you used to give, or meet, it shall be measured to you again." Now, all the while, when I was a young Christian, I've heard this scripture. They always stop at give and shall be given back to you. Good measure and press down, shaking the running over, shall men bring to your bosom. That's where they always stop quoting it. Even the popular song by our dear father in the faith, Dr. Kenoly, one of the fathers of the faith in the gospel industry, music ministry. Even when he sang the song also stopped there. "Give and it will come back to you. Good measure, press down, shaking together, running over. Give, it will come back to you. When you give to the Lord." I believe I got it. All right. So, everybody stopped there. But when I was studying this scripture, God told me, read the last line. He said, "For with the same measure that it used to meet, it shall be measured to you." God said, that's the most important part of that scripture. That you choose the measure your harvest comes in by the measure your seed goes out in. Wow. If you give money that is Okada change for transport, the harvest too comes like that. When you give heavy money, the harvest also comes like that. I said, wow. You choose the measure. I say, yes. Many people just give randomly and carelessly, mindlessly. No. Your giving should be specific, targeted, articulated. Give shall be given, but he said the measure you use is important. Wow. Wow. I said, God, give me another scripture to confirm this. I want to know if this is true. Because whenever there's a real truth in scripture, you will see it in more than one verse. He also now took me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Wow. He said, he that soweth bountifully shall reap also what? Bountifully. I think it's verse 6 it starts from. DJ. Give me from verse 6. Okay. It says, but I say this, he which soweth sparingly. Do you see this? How shall his person reap? No, you're not getting what I'm saying. They say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also what? Sparingly. Why is he looking surprised? He threw in 1,000 naira. He's surprised when the harvest came too. No, he's going to come in that degree. Mas Moro said, if what you gave didn't move God, when the harvest comes, it will move you. Or rather, if what you gave didn't touch you, it will also touch God. The harvest too won't touch you when it comes. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? He said, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. I like the last line. And he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Wow. It never occurred to me before then that you determine the size of your harvest by the size of your seed. Never occurred to me. Oh, from the day I learned this thing. Because before then I was very broke. Ah, look, I've been poor. I know what it's like for all your dreams to be in millions and all your income is in thousands. I've been there. All your bills and dreams are in millions, but your income is in thousands. So I told my wife, we need to enter the million realm. This was many years ago. Many, many years ago. I'm sure more than 20 years ago. I said, we need to enter the million realm. Because all our things we need to do are in millions. The cars we want to buy are in millions. The house we need to live in is millions. The clothes, everything we need is millions. I said, let's sow our first 1 million naira. We didn't have anything near that then. We didn't even have anything near 100,000. But we began to save money just to sow a seed. You see, when this is a revelation, you don't need motivation. When you have a revelation, you don't need motivation. When you have a revelation, even if church doesn't receive offering, you will still give offering. Because you have understanding. They put a dodge offering. You know they put a dodge offering. When you have that, they go and unite. Or they pretend they didn't see the basket. You don't understand. It's okay. When you get it, you're the one that will chase the offering basket to drop your seed or to transfer your funds. Is somebody catching what I'm saying, sir? So, I told my wife, let's give our first 1 million because we need our harvest to start coming in millions. I kid you not. We began to save money. Every money they give us, we'll save it. No matter how small, no matter how big, we're saving it. In fact, that time, if you gave me a bag of rice, I would sell it and keep the money because I needed that money to be complete. And finally, after some months, we were able to put the 1 million together. I told my wife, we're not going to give 1 million. No. Let's give 1,010,000. I don't want to hear that there are some bank charges or something that will not make it 4,999,000. I want to enter the million realm. So we sold 1,010,000 naira. This was more than 20 years ago, guys. So it was a lot of money. So this is not 1 million of today. 20 years ago. So you know what that money, that would probably like 10 million naira today, maybe, or more. We saved it till we got it. And we planted that seed. Guys, I kid you not. Real life story. That's why I'm not shouting today. It's real story. If you don't believe it, thank God for your life. We will just be enjoying our God and going like that. We sowed that seed. The month we sowed that seed, and in less than 3 months, we were able to give another 1 million two other times in the course of 3 months. These people that never had 1 million in one place before for years. In the moment we planted that seed, it's like we broke something in the spirit. Money came in so fast, we gave 1 million two other times. In a space of 3 or 4 months, we entered the million realm forever. Ah, now do I see 1 million naira? It's like 1,000 naira. That's how I see it. Because one of the major blessings of giving, of the generous soul, is that it opens your soul. Hey, can I help you? One of the benefits of giving is that when you start giving at a certain level, your mind expands. He said, the generous soul shall be made fat. When your hand too is generous, your soul becomes generous. And that soul can attract big things. But when your soul is stingy, your life too is stingy, you attract only small things. Generous soul. As I'm here now, because of the kind of giving exercises I've done, there's no amount of money that is big that I can't believe God for, or that I think is strange for me to have. I won't be surprised if somebody gives me $10 million one day. I will not act shocked. My soul is that big now. A generous soul. In fact, now, I'm even careful about things I desire, because they usually will come to pass. No matter how big they are, if I desire it. So I'm careful not to desire something I don't really, really, really want. Because once I desire it, it will come. That's what a generous soul does. Once I desire it, I'm careful.
I and my team, we traveled to the UK recently to do some meetings that we did. And me and PM, when we travel, we usually like to go and shop where there are deals. You know, even though we're a bit financially okay and blessed, but we still like deals. We don't waste money. We don't just have a culture of wasting money in our family. So we like to go to where they say designers for less. I don't know some of you that travel, you know those shops. There are those stores, TK Maxx, TJ Maxx, US or UK, you know, they call them designer for less. So they have designer stuff, but at cheap prices. They're saying that price is cheaper than when it was raining in the designer store. So we go to those stores. Even though we're popular people, we don't waste money. If you have come from hunger, no matter how rich you are, you have sense. Your sense doesn't leave you. It's people that have new money that don't have sense. So we always go to those stores. And even when we want to buy things, you know, just go. So the truth is that I don't like shopping so much, except I'm with a few people that like, if I'm with somebody like Sammy, Peter, there are a few people that know how to shop. If they carry me here, they can make me spend my money. But if it's only me, I get bored and tired easily, you know, for shopping. So most of the time when I go to those stores with PM, she's with somebody and PM knows how to shop. Even though she doesn't waste money, but she knows how to shop. So she'll buy bags, buy for people, buy for children, she can buy for everybody. So she always goes to people and they shop. But when I go to the men's section, I usually don't see anything I like. It's rare before I see something I like in those stores. Rare. I'm bored, I'm tired. So this day, we went to the TK or TJ Maxx in the UK. And I was just looking through things. And finally, I saw one jacket I really liked. Ah! Very fine jacket. Love the jacket. I just thought the jacket just stands out. I can't even explain. Jacket was just so fine. Black jacket. Fine. And I checked the label. It's designer. Ah, very nice. Now, I didn't check the price because this place is cheap. Things are cheap there. So, usually, the price is cheaper than whatever they send the real price. So, I didn't bother to check. I said, whatever the price is, I'll buy it. I like it. But the only problem, when I took the jacket, I saw that they tie it on this side. Then they tie it here. Then they tie it inside. You know, normally in those stores, they don't tie things. They tie it. Ah, I said, wait, iron this thing. Change. Chua, chua, chua. I said, what's the problem? I should have known something is wrong. Where they tie it everywhere. I should have known something. So I took the jacket downstairs to where they are. I didn't check price. I just gave one of the ladies that was the PM. I said, go and ask the price and give PM to pay because PM normally is the one that pays. When she went to the counter and asked them the price, they said, that jacket is £1,000. £1,000. That's 2.something million for one jacket. And this is cheap. It's not the real price. The real price would be more than that. This is cheap. I said, $2 million jacket. For what? I said, go and keep the thing. I said, no wonder when I see the way they tie it. They didn't want anybody to steal it. But you know, somehow, when I returned that jacket, my mind didn't leave the jacket. I liked the jacket. You understand? Normally, when I return things like that, my mind goes. But there are certain things like that. I just say, I like this jacket. And I feel £1,000 is kind of much to spend on one jacket. You know, for me, I know some of you are very rich, so that's fine. But for me, we are prudent. You know, I mean, I'm a born-again spender, so I'm changed now. So I think £1,000, Lord, I can't waste that kind of money. But my mind was still in that jacket. But I didn't know whether I was going to buy it or not. But, you know, I'm just saying this to say that nowadays I'm careful about even desiring things. You know what happened? A few days after, one of our boys from church here, you know, heard I was in town. Oh, he says, coming to, you know, see us. He came to see me. You know, he said he has to take me shopping. He took me to the mall. He said, I must go and buy. I said, I don't want anything. He said, no. You must buy something. He took me to Samsung office. I said, my phone is maybe 4 or 5 years old now. I said, but I don't need to change it. I'm prudent. I said, I'm not changing it. He said, I must buy something. So finally, he dragged me to Apple Store. He said, he bought everything in Apple Store. bought the latest iPhone, whatever, the latest one they have. And he bought it in 1 terabyte or whatever, the biggest size. He bought a watch, iPhone watch. He bought iPhone charger. He bought iPhone power pack. He bought everything. In fact, the person attending to us in the Apple store said he has never seen somebody clear everything like that before. He said, "Who are you guys?" The guy says, "That's my pops." The guy said, "That's my pops." And while I was there, people were coming to take pictures with me. So the attendant was saying, "This person must be a mega star." I said, "I am a star. I'm just humble. People were coming to take pictures. "Oh, Pastor K, the guy didn't know who I was. Who is this guy that they're buying everything for?" The guy bought, that my son bought everything that the Apple has. So after we left that place, you know, we still left there. He said he wants to still buy me more things. By this time, he has spent about £7,000. Or more. Can't remember. Must have been more. He says he wants to buy me more things. I say, "I'm okay." He took me to M&S. He bought one or two jackets. He bought things there. He said, that's how we got to the TJ Maxx, or PM was in the TK Maxx then. So I said, "Okay, there's this jacket I like." He said, "They should go and bring it." So that's how he also bought me that jacket. I'm just trying to show you that nowadays I'm even scared and skeptical about desiring things, because even you have a generous soul, it's not too big for you. Even though you can't spend your money to buy it, God will say, "Look, you are a giver. You're generous, so you can have it." When the Bible says you will live in houses you did not build, it's in the Bible. You have vineyards you did not plant. There's a favor that comes upon a giver because it's a generous soul. I pray for you that you, in this lifetime, you will enjoy things you can't afford in the name of Jesus. That's what favor looks like. There's one watch now I saw that I'm afraid not to post it or to even like it too much. It's 60-something pounds. Me and Gideon went. As usual, Pastor Mildred left me. That woman, she's interested. When she saw the watch, she just said, "I'm going." She will not stay. But me and Gideon followed me. Beautiful watch. I've forgotten the make now, sir. I've forgotten the name. But very fine watch. It's transparent like this. And it has a very fine watch. We checked the price. £62,000. That's the price of an estate. £62,000. I wore the watch. I liked it. I say, I must not desire this watch. If I desire this watch, I can get it. It's Hublot. It's a Hublot watch. Very fine. £62,000. Those of you that on my WhatsApp, I put it on my WhatsApp status. I say, if I desire this watch, I can have it. So I'm even careful. See, when you have a generous soul, nothing is too big. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So when the Bible says you should give, it's first for your soul. Then it opens the harvest. There's nowhere people gave and harvest didn't come. Nowhere. So be a giver. So that's how we entered our million realm. Same thing. Most of you have heard my dollar story. And I told you that we're working on a course and a set of books and everything for Christian families. We believe every family can be rich. Same way we started giving in dollars. There was a time that our dream was to have $1 million. I've shared the story many times. How at that time we sold $100,000. So when people say pastors are stealing money, I'm just laughing. My own seed is $100,000. Do the math. If I'm giving $100,000, then you'll be surprised if I have $1 million. Are you joking? Do you know English math at all? Did you fail math in school? If the kind of mind that can have $100,000 USD and give it as a seed, that mind can clearly receive $1 million. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The soul that can give. See, if Dangote comes here today, or Elon Musk, because there are three Dangote make one Elon Musk. If Elon Musk comes here now and says, you know what, he comes here and he drops in a taxi and he says, "Oh man, I don't have Naira. I don't have Naira to pay for this taxi. I just need $5,000 to pay the taxi man." And he says, "Who can somebody here give me $5,000 to pay that taxi man? I'll sort you out later." Is there anybody that will be angry or shy or reluctant to give him $5,000 Naira? Because he's going to pay you back. And he's most likely not going to give you $5,000, except he's a wicked wizard. He's not going to give you $5,000 Naira back. I mean, it's simple. He's probably going to give you $5,000 or even tell you to come for lunch or even do something bigger for you. God, Elon Musk is not more generous than God. Come on, guys. Elon Musk is not more generous than God. So why were you afraid to give? So that's how we started our journey. I told my wife one time, let's make up $1 million. We started to sow in dollars. We first sold $200. The harvest came, about $6,000. We sold that one. Told her we don't eat this type. We sold it. The next one came, $10,000. We gave it as a seed. The next harvest came, $100,000. That would have been a good point for us to start saving. I said, we've arrived. No, but the goal was $1 million. We gave $100,000 in one seed, not instrumentally. We gave it at once. $100,000. Our goal now is to sow $1 million. Not to have, is to give $1 million. So you can't tell me tomorrow, I give $1 million. Then you say, I have a jet. Are you okay? Are you well? If you give as I give, then you receive as I receive. If you want to be as big as an elephant, you eat like an elephant. That's all. There's no prayer point involved in that. How big is your heart? Give 10K, you can't sleep. You are sweating in the inside. God says, come out and give. I see the people who yab those videos. Come out and give 100K. What are you shouting about? If you don't believe in God, I don't believe in giving, don't believe in the church you are in, then change your church or change your God. Even people that worship shrine, they give. Even that worship idol, they sacrifice. That's what are you talking about now? People that worship demon, they kill goats now. If you don't believe in this God, go and worship on that God. But any God you worship, they would ask you. If you worship the God of flesh, you buy VSOP, what the colors do, you buy all those, you worship them. Think you worship there? Yeah, you want to give. Everybody can give. Start from your size. Start from your size. So me and my wife, our dream now is I want to give $1 million. That's our dream. That a day will come. We'll write one seed, one check, or one transfer, whatever it is then. $1 million USD. There are people already doing these things. There are people giving way more than we were just starting. There are big, big people doing more. And you too, you can do more. It's not because, don't look at my face. If you can give more, do. Start dreaming of it now. And start practicing it small, small. You can't even give $1,000. Can't give $10,000. The heart that can give $10,000 can definitely receive $100,000. Ideas and business opportunities that can give $100,000. You can receive it. Your generous soul. A soul that can give $100K US, what's $1 million US now? Why are you shouting now? Because the harvest will always go. If you give sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you give bountifully, you give money. There are about 7 kinds of offering. I will not be able to read it. I thought I'd have time to read all the scripture, but I'll just mention them. You can study them on your own. There are about 7 major types of offering. Number one is the worship offering. It's what we bring to service every worship service. It's in the scripture. They say, don't come before the Lord empty. So as much as possible, whenever you come for worship service, whether you're watching online, because these online guys now are trying to scam God. You receive the miracle and the testimony and the anointing online, but you don't give your own giving to online. If you're watching online, online member, give online giving. That's the rule. So there's the worship offering. We give it to God in worship in every service we come for. There is your tithe. That's a covenant seed. It's not your own. It's God's own. It's the proof that you are in, your covenant is operational with God. Tithe is not of the law. I don't know where people got that from. They say, oh, it's the law. It's Exodus. It's Deuteronomy. It's Malachi. Tithe started before all that. Who is Moses? You and who are talking about Moses? What was your relationship with Moses? My covenant and relationship with Abraham. Where did you get Moses from? Moses is the one joining us inside. Moses is coming to join Abraham with us. Not that we are following Moses. Read your Bible now. You just follow what people are teaching. You don't read the Bible. Moses and Cole started from Deuteronomy, Leviticus, all this. They are the law. We are not with Moses. We are with Abraham. Galatians says we are now Abraham's seed. We are connected to Abraham's covenant. Say Abraham's blessings are ours. It's there now. We are with Abraham. Abraham started to tithe before the law. Who is law? Why are you talking about law at all? Deuteronomy. What concern you on Deuteronomy? Genesis, before any law came, there was a covenant between Abraham and our father. There's a clear link between us and Abraham. And Abraham tithed. Jacob tithed. Isaac tithed. So what was business with Malachi and Moses and Exodus and Deuteronomy? Looking for excuses, cheap excuses. So we tithe as our covenant relationship with God. Tithe, 10% is the minimum. So if you don't like that word tithe, fine. Do 20, do 30, do 60. There are people doing 90. So don't come and sweat and spit on us here. You give. Tithing is another major one. Because this one is, tithing is consistent giving. It helps you be disciplined and stay consistent. Because most people that say, well, they never get to give. Because bills come, different things come. They just keep pushing it. It's funny, they start scamming God. Say it's love giving. Yeah, give it regularly, let it be disciplined. So, Third one is prophet's offering. Prophet's offering is an offering you give to a man of God that blesses you. It can be your own man of God or any man of God that has really blessed you. When you have the opportunity to bless them, please do bless them. Sometimes I get blessed from people that are not in this church. They say they've watched my program, they've been blessed. People ask our account numbers everywhere in the world. Say, we've been blessed. So how much more you that you receive from us every day? Don't say because you are watching video, I'm not in the church physically, you won't give. Ask for my account number. Don't try me. Ask for my account number and all that. They'll give you. Send the seed. Don't say you want to give me physically. If you don't see me physically, Nko, you will not take my money and go to your house. Don't try it. Ask for my account number. Professor, whenever you meet a man of God that has blessed you or a man of God that carries grace, it's good to bless them. It's in the Bible. Say, if I've given unto you of our spiritual gifts, is it not normal that you give to us of your carnal gifts? It's biblical. It's not, we didn't write these things. And guess what, sir? Every genuine man of God too is practicing what he's teaching you. Yes, there are some fake ones among us. Why are you following the fake one? What's wrong with you? I give heavily to the men that has blessed us. I've never appeared before any of my mentors or fathers without giving a seed to. I give. I've shared the story how I was in the U.S. preaching one of the fathers of the faith. And Pastor Ian was in Nigeria. I said, I'm going to meet one of the fathers of faith today. We're preaching together. I want to give him a seed though. I've already started putting the seed together, but I just asked her, how much do you think I should give? She mentioned the same amount. That same amount I had. It was thick envelope, but it's in dollars. Tick, tick, tick. Those envelope that can't close. Dollars. Took it to him, gave him. He said, do you have any question? I said, no, just pray, speak a word. The first thing he said is that next time it will be more. I said, amen. Because for it to be more, I must be more. I've never heard that kind of prayer before, but I liked it. Next time it will be more. So there will be a next time. Is somebody catching what I'm saying? Prophet's offering. Then there's giving to the poor. Oh, now if you live in Nigeria, poor is all around you. So help people, help people, help people. As much as don't help people to the point that you become poor. That's not what the Bible says. Some of you are helping people. You're helping people, you will soon be poor. You'll soon be the poor that they're helping. No. Strategically, systematically. Have a budget, have a plan, have people you've targeted. I don't even like people that beg me. I target myself, people I know that need help. So there are people you know that are widows, they will always need to pay children's school fees. There are people you know that are going through different things, strategically helping the poor. Bible says when you help the poor, you are borrowing, you are lending to God. And you can't lend to God. And it won't pay back with interest. Heavy seed. Of course, there's kingdom projects. When your church is building or doing a project, tap into that. They're buying equipment. They're buying land. They're building building. I like giving building projects. I told you that last month. Because buildings will outlive all of us. People will still be getting saved in the building years after we are dead. So I like that one. Give heavily for building projects. It's also a good chance for you to own your own houses whenever you build God's house. It's in there in scripture. Building projects. And a few other, I don't know how many I've mentioned now. But, giving to parents. That's another good one. There's many people that don't give to their parents. You can't be that broke. As long as you have left your parents, you must send them something. Even if it's 1,000 naira church card. No matter how rich your parents are, you don't give to your parents or your pastor because they are broke. Because some people like charity. All the giving some people know is charity giving. They only give to people that are poor. No. You don't give. Your pastor can be richer than you, and you still sow. The person I give that $10 is 1,000 or a million times richer than me. That's why I'm giving him. I give up to go up. I give down not to go down. That's how it works. So you don't say, hey, I can't give my parents because they are rich. No, that has nothing to do with the status of the person. It has to do with you. I've been buying my parents' car. SUVs now, you know I don't like it. I hate flat cars, except it's a sports car. Any car that isn't a sports car is flat. I don't know what it's doing on the ground. It must be SUV. I've been buying my parents' SUV for years. Without any obligation, no begging. Once the one they have is old, I renew it. No need to discuss. Pay for your parents. Send them money, no matter how small. It's a key way to be blessed. Honor your father and mother is the first instruction we promise. Don't waste your time. Credits, you can buy credits, my brother. You have data watching nonsense on Instagram. You send them that data. Send them that data. I don't know if I mentioned the seven, but if you give in like that, that can be a blessing to you. Glory to God. Have you been blessed? Hallelujah. Have you been blessed? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise. Father, I thank you for everyone that's under my voice. I see millionaires and billionaires being raised here in this assembly, this church will be known as a church of rich people in the name of Jesus. To be a church of wealthy people. Every family here will be rich and wealthy in the name of Jesus. No one under the sound of my voice is permitted to be poor. I break any connection you have with poverty. I release you, enter into your prosperity. You will prosper in every currency. There are people that we hear that will give millions of dollars. There are people here that will give thousands of dollars. That will be your portion in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen.